The character of faith has been a long journey, discovering and rediscovering what it means to be rooted in God's calling for all of us, to live our lives in a way we believe reflects God's character. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and of course, love. As the song goes, love is all you need. But some days, particularly in these last several months, we may wonder, is it? Is it really? Can love solve this pandemic? Can love provide jobs to those who are out of work? Can love pay for the rising prices of food, energy, and housing? What can love really do in the midst of such challenges? As we've been going through the characters of faith, we have almost kind of gone backwards to where we are here at the end, which is also the beginning. For in Galatians 5:22, it is written that the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Several years ago, I both attended as a seminary student, but then also as a pastor, part of a leadership group, we visited a church called Jacob's Well, which is near downtown Kansas City. It was led by the senior pastor, Tim Keel. And as he was talking to us as pastors and leaders, he began drawing on this really old giant chalkboard how it is that before any kind of fruit appears in ministry or even just in life, there's this huge, huge, broad, expansive root system. All of this stuff taking place below underground before anything is able to break through. And thinking about that experience, it reminded me of how it is that we together are rooted way before anything ever appears. Through this sermon series, we have been asking the question, what are we rooted to? Who are we rooted to? And of course, the answer that we have known all along, but perhaps needed to rediscover once again, who we are rooted to is, of course, God, who is described in 1 John as love. And then Paul goes on to write that famous, incredible, memorable passage in 1 Corinthians 13. For if God is love, then love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, those will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe saying it in modern terms, we might add, love is honest. Love is transparent. Love is enough. It is all we need. But of course, what's not enough is not just that we experience this love or that we receive this love. Of course, it also means that we are called to live this love. Professor Brené Brown, who is a college professor and author, once said, I find that love is not something that you give or get. It is something that grows between people when they allow themselves to be fully seen by each other. I think love is beautiful when it is professed, she says, but it is only meaningful when it is practiced. The other day, I was at a clothing store, and I noticed two people having a conversation. One was an older woman, one was younger. And the older woman was telling the younger that she was looking for shirts, male shirts of a certain size. But because her eyesight was not all that great, she had forgotten her glasses, and so she couldn't find the tags that she was looking for. And the younger woman said, well, I'll help you find them. Just give me the list. I'll get them for you. And as she was getting the shirts, the younger woman said to the older, are these shirts for your husband? And the older woman says, no, I'm collecting them for the homeless. I have to make sure that I get the right size. Two people who had obviously never met before, bound and rooted together to help each other. Because that's what love is. The other night in our Grow Council meeting, we were talking about how we are not out of this pandemic just yet. In fact, we probably will not be for some time. Even once we are clear of the dangers that COVID has brought, we are still going to be adjusting and readjusting and learning and figuring out who we are now and what it is that we're supposed to be doing in these new realities. Certain things have changed which we cannot ignore and which cannot be undone. And so we were talking about, how do we move through all of this? How do any of us, wherever we are, how do we move through this new world, this new reality? And one of the conclusions that we came to that at least gave us some amount of peace was the realization that, especially right now, simple is powerful. Simple does not mean easy. Simple does not mean being lazy or avoiding our responsibilities, but remembering that there is power in the simplicity of just simply reaching out to one another. And also remembering, this gave us some peace as well, also remembering that there are going to be many mistakes and many failures. Many times when we have no idea what we're doing and so we try something and it just simply does not work. And that is not such a bad thing in a time when everything seems so new and so certain, when we're learning, when we are continuing to wander through the wilderness. And so we need to remember that in the midst of this uncertainty, in the midst of this learning and what it is that we are experiencing, that we and I often forget, we are also grieving. As Pastor David has said multiple times, there have been a lot of individuals, siblings, loved ones who we have lost. People who are dear to us. And we are still grieving. We are grieving for the loss of the world, of things that we knew. And we can often forget that part of what we are going through is grief. But as someone once said, what is grief if not love persevering? We grieve, we mistake, we fail, we err, as it has often been said, on the side of love so many times. And that's okay. Not long ago, my son Ben, who's almost 11, wanted me to read two of his favorite books, The Wild Robot and The Wild Robot Escapes. And actually, if you've not read these books, they're really good. I highly recommend them. They're very easy reads. But the basic story is about this robot who crashes on an island on its very first day of existence. And so it's a learning computer, and it learns what it means to be a robot in the midst of this wild nature, this uninhabited place. From humans anyway, but it is very much inhabited by animals. And so this robot learns to speak among the animals. In fact, it even finds a lone goose egg and raises it as its own. And so we start to see that this robot actually becomes a mother. And as this robot learns to love, as this robot learns to live, it is also forced to leave the island and all of its loved ones. And eventually it meets up with its creator. And as the creator learns about these robots, this robot's experiences, the creator is just amazed at what this robot has learned. And at one point in the conversation, the robot says to its creator, "Maybe I am defective. Maybe everything I have experienced is the result of a glitch. But if so, what a beautiful glitch." Today is Commitment Sunday. Now, we really cannot tell you what your reason is or should be to give. That is a decision that we all have to make for ourselves. I hope that you continue to find reasons, maybe even discover new ones, as we carry on the ministries to serve God and to serve one another. If you heard Pastor David's message from last Sunday, he gave us multitudes of reasons of why we need everyone's support, of why our community, places like Visti, but also ministries in Costa Rica, Bulgaria, Africa, literally people all over the world who are continuing to count on us to reveal God's love in real, tangible ways. An outward, visible sign of an inward spiritual grace to show how all of us are rooted together in God's love. But we all need our own reason. And for me, ultimately, for my family's reason for pledging to First Lakeland, it's simply but powerfully because we love and believe in this church. I love that every day when I come to work, when I drive on to Lake Morton from Walnut Street, I will see the sun either coming out from the steeple or shining upon the lake, showing me the place where I belong. Almost every day I think about the history of this church, everything that it has been through, everything it has endured, everything it has celebrated, all the people you have helped. I love sitting around the tables of the large conference room listening to our finance and trustees and our church council talk about ways to best use the church's resources to help one another, to help others in the community, in our state, in our world. The care and compassion that they embody to do what it is that they have been called to do with the resources God has entrusted us with. I love the power of visioning that happens throughout all of our leadership, whether it is staff or committees or just folks coming up to us and sharing with us how great it would be if we were a part of this ministry. This July will be my 15th year of ministry. And in all that time, this is the one church I have served which has as many laity bringing new ideas and vision and executing them just as much as any of the pastors or staff, and more oftentimes, even more so. But mostly I love this church because you first loved us. 5 years ago when we came here, it was from another state, another conference, in fact, in many ways, a whole different world. We barely knew anyone. My wife, Morgan, had no idea what kind of job she was going to be able to get. Our son, Ben, had left all of his friends, and you simply but powerfully welcomed us. Hurricane Irma came through that summer. As I asked questions about what we do in the midst of a hurricane, a lot of folks told me, it'll be okay, you just ride it out. You get a little bit extra water, a few more soup cans. It's actually kind of a party. That party did not last long. But on the other hand, not long after it came through, I started getting calls and text messages about how we were going to open up our mission depot. We were going to start dropping off supplies and then almost immediately driving them out to homes and places in the community. Everyone, literally everyone, had their own mess to deal with, and yet they dropped all of that so that they could help other people. Personally, we were without electricity for 17 days. And in that time, many of you opened your homes to us. You gave us supplies. You let us wash your clothes, wash our clothes, and charge our phones. And it wasn't just us. All of these homes were packed with individuals who were going through their own troubles and challenges. You loved us. What was our saying years ago? Large enough to serve, small enough to care. Maybe love, God's love, really is all we need. Or maybe that's just the result of a glitch. But if so, what a beautiful glitch. Let us pray. Gracious Holy God, we do not ignore or move aside the enormous challenges that are going on in our reality right now. But we also celebrate. We celebrate not only the safety of the lessening of the pandemic, We do not just celebrate the upcoming holidays. We celebrate how your love continues and is consistently present in the midst of our lives. We thank you for the opportunities you have blessed us with to be a part of that love, to dig deep into our roots, to remember who we are and who we belong to. And in that, O God, we find strength and endurance, and most importantly, love. And so may we continue to see how it is we are called to live out these characters of faith, to see how it is that they continue to root us deeper into who you are, into who we are, and that as we see those opportunities, that we bear your fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. May we remember that the foundation of all of these fruits, all of these ministries, all of these givings is your love. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to especially thank Betty Miller for the beautiful display here. This will be up for a couple more weeks, certainly for our Thanksgiving Eve service. And so if you find time, just remember that our church, the offices are open from 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. And so if you have a chance to come by the sanctuary, just know that it is open. If you would like to continue to enjoy this beauty and just have some time to pray, know that the sanctuary is open for all of us at that time. Someone once said, "The rivers do not drink their own water. Trees do not eat their own fruit. The sun does not shine for itself, and flowers do not spread their fragrance for themselves. Living for others is a rule of nature. Life is good when we are happy, but it is much better when others are happy because of us." Because of you, because of this day, because of this season, because of who we are in Jesus Christ, others will be able to know of God's love because of you, because of how it is that we are rooted together. This is who we are called to be. And so may you know that we thank you, that the world thanks you for who it is that you are and for what it is that you are doing. And may we continue to go and be the people, the fruit God has called us to be. And may we go in peace and thanksgiving. Amen.